Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated. Did you hear what the Lord had to say about John? Truly I say to you, among those born of women has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. No one greater. You heard it yourself straight from the mouth of Jesus. Well, if John is so great, shouldn't he be living the victorious Christian life? If John is so great, shouldn't he be living the American dream? What is John doing in prison? Today's reading doesn't include the reason John was in prison, but other parts of the gospel do fill us in. We learn that John was in prison because he spoke the truth to power. In this case, the power was Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. Herod Antipas had stolen the wife of his brother, Philip. It was a clear case of adultery. John the Baptist fearlessly and faithfully condemned Herod for adultery. And so, Herod arrested John and threw him in prison. You can't really blame John for having his doubts. He had done what he was supposed to. He was already the prophet in his mother's womb as he leapt for joy when he heard the voice of Mary approaching, bearing Jesus in her womb. He had baptized thousands for repentance in anticipation of the coming Messiah. He had done everything that he was supposed to, and yet he ended up in jail. You can't blame him for looking back upon his ministry and questioning if he was right about Jesus. There are many who struggle with the idea that John had doubts. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. John preached with power. John baptized the Lord and heard the voice from heaven and saw the Spirit descending like a dove. Surely someone who had all these experiences would not crack under pressure. There has to be another answer, another explanation. But why? For us Christians, there is never a time when faith is very far from the edge of unbelief. Satan never leaves us Christians alone. But each day he works harder and harder to lead us away from Christ. John was no exception. The sad reality is that preachers can lose the faith that they preach to others. Both the preacher and his hearers are not immune to unbelief. We Christians know that life can sometimes be so miserable that, like Job, we begin to turn inward and ask ourselves if God really does care for us. Perhaps we even go to the extreme and begin to wonder if God truly even exists. John's question was a little different. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Christ. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? John, who had pointed to Jesus as the Messiah, toyed with the idea that maybe he may have made the mistake of misidentification. If Jesus was not the Christ predicted by the prophets, then John's ministry was a total waste. When John's disciples come to Jesus, though, he answers them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." Go and tell John. Jesus did not rebuke John or his disciples. In fact, Jesus understood John's doubts and was very sympathetic toward them. He understood that John needed more assurance. Jesus appointed John's disciples as apostles, sent ones, who were specifically sent to bring their witness to John. He invited John's disciples to witness his work and then take that proclamation of his work back to John. Here is a very basic truth. When we have doubts, Jesus does not turn against us, but instead he says, "Hear what I have done." He sends people to proclaim the wonders of all he has done so that we can hear about them. By this proclamation of his deeds, he sends the Holy Spirit upon us to to bear us up and strengthen us as we travel through this sinful world, especially when we travel through that darkness of doubt. Jesus told John's disciples to take two kinds of proclamation back to John. First, there was the proclamation of the signs or credentials that Jesus is who he says he is. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. These signs are fulfillment of prophecy. We heard about some of that prophecy in our Old Testament today. These signs clearly mark Jesus as the appointed Messiah. These visible miracles are the credentials that validate the authority to perform the most important miracle of all. As Jesus himself once said to the paralytic, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he turned to the paralytic and said, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. This miracle of forgiveness is more important than any other miracle that Jesus performed. Indeed, more important than all of those miracles combined. This is the miracle that the disciples will proclaim when they tell John that the poor have good news preached to them. This is nothing other than Jesus telling the poor that he forgives their sins. Here is the true anecdote for our doubt. The proclamation that Jesus forgives sins. We may think that we take comfort in and certainty in the many supernatural attributes of God. His power, his knowledge, his wisdom, his holiness, and so on. But that is simply not the case. Without forgiveness, those attributes only serve to terrify us. If there is no forgiveness, then God's holiness only sets himself apart and sets him against sinners. If there is no forgiveness, then God's total knowledge reveals our every sin. If there is no forgiveness, then God's power only comes to punish our sin. Without forgiveness, God is the ultimate terror. And yet with forgiveness, then God is the great comforter and gives us great assurance. When there is forgiveness, God's holiness is for us. When there is forgiveness, God's knowledge serves us. When there is forgiveness, God's power comes to protect us. With forgiveness, God is that ultimate comfort. He is the ultimate reassurance. But that forgiveness does not come cheap. The one who earns forgiveness must satisfy God's justice, and God's justice requires the punishment of sin. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus took your sins into himself. Then when God punished your sin, that punishment fell on Jesus and not on you. When Jesus hung upon the cross, he took your place as the target of God's just punishment of sin. This is nothing other than God's perfect love enduring God's perfect justice for you. This is Jesus earning forgiveness for you. Jesus put the finishing touches on the cure for doubt a few days after he died. His friends placed his dead body inside the tomb, but it did not stay there. Instead, his mortal body was transformed into an immortal one as he rose from the dead. And when the disciples saw and heard of the empty tomb, they doubted. And yet Jesus appeared to forgive and restore them. His resurrection is the ultimate sign that Jesus will do exactly as he promises. He will return to raise and restore us all to live with him forever. John himself, like us, did not get to see any of Jesus' miracles firsthand, but he heard the proclamation of Jesus from his disciples. They proclaimed the physical miracles of Jesus as his credentials. Then they proclaimed the forgiveness of sins to John, and the Holy Spirit removed his doubts. Faith does not feed on miracles or the power of God. Many of Jesus' opponents saw his miracles and yet still refused to believe. Instead, faith feeds on the gospel, the proclamation of who Jesus is and that he forgives our sin. People are not willing to die for something they know to be a lie. Yet hundreds, perhaps even thousands, gladly died proclaiming that they saw, touched, spoke with, ate with, and otherwise interacted with the risen and living Lord after they knew he had died on the cross. The threats of punishment and even death could not stop them. They continued to proclaim the forgiveness of sins found in Jesus alone through their lives, and they proclaimed him even in their deaths, just as John did, strengthened by this testimony concerning Jesus as he continued to hold fast in his faith and his confession until he himself was martyred. And through these martyrs, we receive the same proclamation of forgiveness from Jesus that John received from his disciples. This is the proclamation that cures all our doubts. Jesus forgives your every sin. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.